Before the scripture today, Jesus had been in Capernaum, and he had healed a centurion's servant. If you remember that story, Jesus, a centurion came to him and said, "My servant's sick." And he said, "Well, I'll pray for him. I'll help him if I can." And then the servant came back and said, "I'm not worthy of that." He said, "But why don't you just speak the word and he'll be healed." And that's what Jesus did. He spoke the word, and the centurion was known for his great faith. He knew that Jesus didn't have to go and touch his servant. All he had to do was just speak the word, and that's what he did. And the scripture today is a tragedy, really. And we all have tragedies in our lives. We all have problems in our lives, and we find comfort. And that's what this story is about today, is comfort that Jesus offers us with his compassion for us as people of God this morning. So after he had healed the centurion, they traveled about 15 miles, according to what I read, down to Nain from Capernaum, southwest from Capernaum. And when he arrived, he had a big following. It says, soon after, Jesus went down to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. Wonder why he had a large crowd. It was because he had been healing people. He'd been feeding them. He'd been doing things for people. And some estimated crowd could be in the hundreds that would follow him. They were laughing and carrying on and just having a big time. And so when they came up to the gate, they met this procession of people that were coming out. And this was a widow. As he approached the town gate, the dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And this is bad news for her. This is a tragedy for her, because number one, she was a widow, and that means that she had no other means of support but by her son, and now her son had died. So she was right by herself, and she was going to be left a life of begging, and probably live a life of destitution because of that. Back then, women didn't have jobs, they didn't work. So if they lost their sons, they lost their male people in the family, they were really in bad shape. And she was in bad shape because she had lost her son and her husband. And a large crowd was from the town was with her. And she had a large crowd following her because they were mourning. They were following her as she comes out. Now, what we find here, and I couldn't think of a title for the sermon. I thought maybe A Clash at the Gates would be a good title for it, because you got one group coming in laughing and carrying on, and another group coming out that's mourning the loss of a loved one. And what happens is, as they approach one another, I'm sure the people that were laughing carrying on started quieting down a little bit because they recognized it was a funeral procession, just like kind of like we do when we meet a funeral procession. We pull over or we stop and try to show our respects for the people that had passed on. But they were quieting down. But as she caught a glimpse of Jesus' eyes and he caught a glimpse of hers, he had compassion on her. But what's so interesting about this is that when the Lord saw her, he went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Now, what kind of greeting is that? I'm sure the mourners that followed were saying, "You're crazy, man, to tell her not to cry. She's lost her husband. She's lost her son. She's going to cry. You can't stop her from crying." And that's like going to a funeral and telling people not to cry. But Jesus didn't mean it in a way, and she didn't take it that way because she could see in his eyes that he had compassion on her. What is true compassion? I heard a definition this week. Compassion, when you have compassion for someone, you take their pain and put it in your heart. That's the compassion you have on. That's what kind of compassion that Jesus had on this widow. And then he does something even more extraordinary. Says, then he went up and touched the coffin, that those carrying it stood still. Now, everybody knows that a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi, and he was a teacher, a rabbi, you could call him a rabbi, he was a leader, wouldn't touch a dead man's coffin. He wouldn't do that. But Jesus did. He took death upon him. He didn't worry about the fact that the man was dead. He was to defile himself. He just touched the coffin. And he did one thing for that woman. One thing for that woman that she couldn't do for herself. That he's fixing to give her back her son. And she was distraught, as I said. And she had a lot of people there being mournful for her. But the young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So he done another extraordinary thing. I'm sure the people said, now the man's gone crazy for sure. He's talking to a dead man. Tell him to get up. And Jesus got up. The dead man got up and started talking. We don't know what he said, but he said something. But the thing was that if the mother won't cry before, she's really crying now for tears of joy because she's got her son back. That was the comfort that Jesus offers us. And that's the thing that Jesus offers us today, is comfort in the times of our tragedies and our problems that we have. As I was telling them, I'm so glad that God has been with me in my life. I've been in many instances in my life, and I've shared them with some of my Sunday school classes before, where I was working on a tractor or doing something around a tractor, and I could have been very easily hurt or killed. And God was just there. Oh, and I know you don't believe me, but it's just like God picked me up one day. I was working on my tractor, and it wouldn't start. And I knew better. I took a screwdriver, went over and crossed over where the starter was, short-circuited. And that thing fired up just like that. And it cranked up. And I don't know what in the world I was going to do. I don't know how I got up off the ground onto the tractor, but I did. The Lord's the only thing I know that did that for me. And that was a day that I could have been ran over easily. I had a piece of equipment behind it and killed very easily. But God saved me that day. Another day I was moored around the pond, and I knew better than to turn towards the pond, but I just forgot what I was doing, and I turned towards the pond, and somebody that ever worked with a tractor, you know, you don't hit your brake on grass because it don't stop. It just slides. As a matter of fact, I hit my brakes, and it sped up, and it's heading right towards the pond. It wouldn't turn, and it's just like a miracle. My front wheel stopped that far from the pond. It was a miracle. And that's why I know that God is with me all the time and that Jesus is with me. And that he brings comfort in times of tragedy. And I know that I've had some tragedy in my life. People have passed on. But he's also brought comfort in knowing that that loved one that I have is going to be in heaven someday with me. And that's what you can do, is trust in Jesus Christ. Then the consequence of all this. What was the consequence of this miracle? The consequence is found in the last verses, 16 and 17. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. That's two things. One is they were filled with awe. They were filled with awe, and they praised God. Some of them said, a great prophet has appeared among us, they said. And the reason they said that is because they were near a town called Shunem, which was the place where the prophet had raised a boy from the dead. And he had raised him from the dead by simply laying upon him two times. Now, before that, another prophet had laid upon a dead person three times, but this prophet only laid it twice. So they were great prophets, but Jesus, all he had to do was speak, and this person was raised from the dead. They praised God, and they has appeared upon them. That's what we need to do. When God does things for us in our lives. When God does a miracle, we need to testify. And that's why I was testifying this morning that God was in my life and saved me several times. That was just two instances. There have been other instances too. I won't bore you with them. But what other ways does it bring us comfort? In John, the 14th chapter, or 13th chapter, Jesus told the disciples that, "I'm going to go and I'm going to be crucified." They said, "Lord, that's not true. We can't believe that." And he said right after that in chapter 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, because I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit." And that's what we all need to be, is full of the Holy Spirit. And I've told you that before, that we are an Adamic man, that is, we come from Adam. We're sinful to start with, but until we accept Jesus Christ and allow him to come in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we're not saved. We're not going to be with Jesus Christ when we die. But we need to call upon him to be in our hearts and the Holy Spirit to be with us. And that's the comforter we have today. That's the comforter that they had in their life. And they become martyrs and they become all sorts of things for Jesus Christ. These disciples did for Jesus Christ. That's what we can come today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll accept him today and that you will don't hesitate to call upon the Holy Spirit to be with you each and every time. And it said that today's scripture is a testimony of the comfort that God can offer us in times of need. And I know some of you out there have experienced tragedy in your life. You've lost your wife, you lost your husband, you lost your children, you lost all sorts of people, and you found comfort. But there's others about that's not. And how are they going to know that if you don't tell them, if you don't share it with them, if you don't speak up and witness to them, and say, you know, if it wasn't for this, I couldn't have got through the tragedy of losing my wife or my husband or my child. And that's what we need to do, is to be a witness. And that's what God calls us to do, is to be a witness and to praise him for all the good things he does. Let us pray.